Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read verse number 7, then skip down to verses 17 and 18. First of all, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And we know what the treasure is. The treasure is Jesus. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is our salvation. Praise God. We have this treasure in a clay pot, in a clay vessel, like our physical bodies. We possess this wonderful treasure. Skipping down to verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. So what's going on around you right now in your life? The things that you see, the things in the physical, the things that you're dealing with, those things are just fleeting. The apostle calls them your light affliction. It's a small thing compared to the eternal. Amen. And as Christians, we need to view our lives in that, from that perspective. You know, we make our decisions and we direct our lives every day on the basis of what we value. The things that we value affect and direct what we do with our life. The decisions you make, when you really look at the basis of that decision, you'll find there that there's a value there that has guided that decision. Even your coming here this morning to this service, hopefully it wasn't just something that you felt obligated to do, but you've come to the house of the Lord because you value God. You value the house of God. You value the people of God. You value the Word of God. You value worship. And as a result of that, you have made a decision. I'm going to go to the house of God because this is something that's important to me. And people make those kind of decisions. Even people who are unsaved make decisions based upon their values. Sad to say, some of the values of people, you know, a generation ago seem to be better and stronger than the values of some Christians now. I know that my dad, he made a decision to go to work whenever he was so sick and so down in his back that he could hardly walk. I remember visibly seeing my dad get out of his truck and literally crawl into the house because he could not stand up. But the next day, he got up, somehow mustered enough energy to get back, go back to work and stand on those concrete floors and do the work. And why did he do that? Well, was it because he was making a lot of money? Not really all that much. He did it because there was a value system in him. He did it because he knew that it was important for him to be faithful to his job. He knew it was important for him to make a living for his family. He did it his value because he valued his family. He valued the fact that he needed to pay his bills and be responsible and be a person of character. So his values drove him to do what he even physically was. It was difficult for him to do it, but yet he was driven by his values to do it. I remember reading about Eric Liddell, you know, the marathon runner, the Olympic runner, that whenever the real crisis in his career was whenever it came down to whether or not he was to enter in an event in the Olympics on the Lord's Day. And he was a Christian. And he said, I'm not going to do that. Immediately when they said, well, this event that you're going to be participating in, that you're going to have to enter into this, I can't remember the terminology, but in the preliminary competition, it was going to be done on the Lord's Day. And he immediately said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm a Christian. I don't do that on the Lord's Day. Now, that would have been an easy thing to rationalize. This is the Olympics. This is something really important. And my whole country is watching what I'm doing and I'm representing my whole nation. As a matter of fact, he came under tremendous pressure and ridicule for the decision that he made. He had to enter into other places of other competitions and was a winner eventually. But he stood by principle. He was guided by what he valued and what he believed was important. As Christians, that's the kind of thing that has to. You know, we've devalued ourselves to the place that the decisions that we're making are not based upon the Word of God. And since we've lost our values, then we have nothing to guide us. We're living right now in a nation that is void of real values. And so we have to get back to the things that are important. And of course, those things you'll find in the Word of God. Amen. In the Word of the Lord. America, the American dollar, right now, as you know, is in a mess. And it has been continuing this plummet, and it's devaluing in this nation, our economy. It just seems to be going down further and further. Spending is out of control. Did you know that in the last 4 years, during the time that Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been in office, that her spending, under her leadership, the Congress has spent $5 trillion. They don't even talk about billions anymore. Or millions. We've forgotten even what that is. It's trillions of dollars now that are being spent. That money that has been spent in the last 4 years, unless you think I'm being political, it was 2 years under President Obama, 2 years under President Bush. So the spending has been out of control, no matter what party affiliation you've been involved in. And as a result, our position as far as the international markets now is so down that's what President Obama has been doing over in Asia. He's been trying to shore up the confidence of those people that we're still dependable. But they're questioning that in Asia. They're questioning that all over the world because of this huge trillions upon trillions of dollars of debt. In the last 4 years, more has been spent, more added in national debt than all the first 57 House speakers combined from 1789 to 1995. $5 trillion has been spent. And why are we spending it? We don't have it. And so as a result of spending money that you don't have, you know what happens when you do that at your house. If you do that, you're in trouble. Well, we're in trouble in this country. What's happening? The American dollar is devaluing further and further and further and further. And it's a mirror of what's going on in the spiritual condition of this country. No values. No values. People don't value home anymore. They don't value family anymore. They don't value morals anymore. The church isn't valued. Everything that has been the basis of the strength of this nation and of the church has been so devalued that now we're at a place that we need to ask ourselves a very serious question. And that is, what is really important to us? What is really important to us in this time? What happens whenever you get in a position like this is that things that should mean the most to you don't at all. And you throw away precious things. Vance Havner tells in one of his sermons about a traveler in an African country who went into a village. And this was in an African area where diamonds were very plentiful. And as this traveler moved into this village, he saw children in a circle playing like they were playing marbles. And on the close examination, as he looked at the marbles, it was diamonds. And they were playing their little childish games with these diamonds that were worth millions of dollars. They didn't realize the value of what they had. And I really believe that what is happening today, and God help us to never allow this to affect us, to get to the place that we don't realize how precious it is, the things that we have, the things that God has given to us, the treasure of the things of the Lord. The treasure of His house, the treasure of His Word, the treasure of worship, the treasure of all of these things. And if you really value them, then it's going to affect the way you live and the decisions that you're making. Amen. Amen. Are we just playing around with things that are so valuable? Are we playing with eternity? Are we playing around with things that have eternal value? as if it's just a game, as if it's just something that we can treat carelessly? I think so. I think many times we are doing just that. We treat the things of God, the Word of God, the house of God, and all of the things that are available to us through our walk with the Lord, and we just treat it carelessly. Oh, I'll be there if it's convenient. I don't really feel all like I should go. I'm not really up to it. We don't treasure it. We don't value it. We don't value the Word of God. We don't value the things of God. We don't value the presence of God. We don't value worship, and so we don't worship. Our hearts are far from God, and we come in to a service, and I can make a survey of the congregation. And honestly, folks, I know many of you, you can say, well, you know, I'm worshiping in my heart, and I hope that you are, because there's a blank stare on some of your faces. There's a blank look, as if you're not really opening your heart to the Lord. You're not really interested in the things. So we need to ask ourselves a question here today. What is really important? You know that corporations have had to have what they call values clarification conferences. Because their people were, you know, they couldn't depend upon their people. And so they would train them and try to get them to understand, to see and understand what is really important in your life. And on the basis of that, that you're making your life decisions on the basis of the things that you think are important. So there's been a cheapening of the things of God, cheapening of the gospel, a cheapening of the things that ought to be precious to us. We have a treasure. We have a treasure. Because you know the Lord, because you have the Word of God, because you have the privileges of serving the Lord. We have a treasure. Nothing in all of this world, only eternity, can really reveal the value of the things that we have. But we treat them carelessly and lightly as if they are not important. I read about a caretaker of a museum in Vienna where Beethoven's piano is. The caretaker saw a young girl come in and actually walk up and sit down on that piano and begin to play some kind of a rock and roll tune. Well, he was appalled. And so the caretaker walks over to her and says, "Do you know that Paderewski came and visited here one time?" "Oh, really? Well, what did he play?" And he said, "He didn't play anything. He would never sit down on Beethoven's piano." He said he'd felt unworthy to even touch the keys because he recognized the gift and the value of it. But that's a generation that we're dealing with right now. That's you and I. If we're not careful, we're treating the things that should be precious and valuable to us as if they really aren't all that valuable and important. Thank God we can come to church and we can be in Sunday school and we can be here on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and we have the privilege to come and pray daily. And this is a valuable thing. Don't throw it away. Don't throw away the things that God has given to you and blessed you with. These are things that are very weighty and very valuable. And they can only be compared and understood in eternal terms. And that's what is really, really important. So if there's a cheapening of the things of God that ought to be valuable to us. Some of the things that are being cheapened is our understanding of God, our concept of God and who He is. There's the treating of God like he's the granddad, the grandfather. Grandpas and grandmas were never, ever intended to raise their grandchildren. Amen. I know sometimes it has to happen. And it does happen. The grandmas and grandpas, they're a little bit too permissive. And they like to be loved. And so they do. And the kids often say, you know, that you let the grandkids get away with things that you had never let us get away with. That's kind of the way it is. But God, you know, we can't treat God as in that our concept and understanding of God as if He's just, you know, the grandfather who just kind of overlooks our wrongs and winks at our sin. The God that you know, is going to be compassionate no matter what and overlook what you're doing. He's just kind of a buddy and a pal. But that's not the God that we serve. We serve a God who is the creator of the world and the universe and everything that is. He is not our buddy or our pal. He is our God to be revered and to be honored. And so our whole concept of God, He's not, you know, the man upstairs. That's not the concept that we have and that we get from the Word of God. He is the true and the living God. And we honor and revere Him for who He is. It's because of people's attitude toward God that even the things of God, the house of God, can become something crude and lewd, and those kind of activities right in the church can take place. Right in the house of God, because of people's concept of God, the way they're thinking of God and the things of the Lord. Amen. There is this attempt to try to bring God down to our level. That's not the will of God. He came to lift us up, to raise us up, to be on His level. We're always to be climbing and aspiring to be more like Him. We don't bring God to the level of man in carnality so that man can hear and receive the gospel. That is not a biblical principle. That is not a value that we have. But instead, we're elevating ourselves. We're growing. We're learning. We're getting closer to God. We're being lifted up so that we can be in fellowship with Him. Amen. So we're not bringing God down to our level. But that's the concept. That's the mental concept and the value system of the world that has slipped into the church today, causing people to dress down, to talk down, to bring God down, bring Him down. Man is being deified, but at the same time, God is just being humanized. He's just one of the good old boys. He's just our pal, our buddy. And that concept is doing great damage to the body of Christ. He is our God who deserves our worship and our reverence and our praise and our glory. And we never are to dishonor and respect Him. He is the God, and that's to be our concept of who He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's a cheapening of valuable things. I believe it starts with our understanding of who God is. We know from the Scripture what happened whenever the Apostle Paul, who was then Saul, had that Damascus Road encounter with the Son of God. He didn't say, "Oh, nice to see you out here today. We're buddies and pals. Nice to get acquainted with you." No, he fell down on his face. He was blinded. "Who art thou, Lord?" He understood that he was having an encounter with the Son of the living God. And the brightness of the Son of God was like the noonday sun. And so our understanding of God needs to come from the Word of God. What the Bible says about who He is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that develops a reverence in your heart, a worship in your heart, and an attitude toward God. And these are the things that really matter in a generation such as we're living in right now. What is really important is not what you think about God, but what the Bible says about who He is. Amen. And I know everyone is going to be judged on the merit and the basis of their own life and their own decisions, but we all have to be reminded of the fact that those decisions were based upon your values. And we need to get our values from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Salvation. What could be more precious than that? What could be more precious than that? It is the only way whereby that you're going to be able to move in to pass this life into the eternal. That's what the apostle was talking about. We're not affected by the things of this world. It's just our light affliction. The things that are eternal are the things that can that God is more concerned about. They'll bring an eternal weight of glory. All of those things that are going on in your life, if you see them through the perspective and the eyes of eternity, then you're able to really understand what God is doing. You may not understand all that's happening in your life, but we have confidence in God because we know that He is doing an eternal work in us. It's going to last beyond this life. Amen. Salvation, what a precious thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, That's how you were saved. Salvation is free, but it was never cheap. It was never cheap. It was a free gift. It is a free gift. But oh, the ultimate price was paid for your salvation. And we understand that. And we need to believe that. And live our life with the understanding that the ultimate price was paid that we might be saved. And let's not treat our salvation as if it's something light. Yes, it was free. But oh, it paid. He paid the ultimate price that we might be saved. Hallelujah. What about the church? What about the church? I've heard this, and there's a popular attitude that's being promoted today that's not from God. It's an attitude that says, I love God, but I hate the church. I love God, but I hate the church. Now, there are reasons we know that there are things that go on in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world that are not necessarily edifying, not necessarily pleasing to God. But if you love God, you're going to love the church. Amen. With all its faults and its failures, with all its weaknesses and its needs, you're going to love the church. You don't love the head and not love the body. Amen. If you love the Lord, you love the church. And these that are promoting this whole idea, well, I can love God, but I just hate the church and despise the church and don't like the things that are going on in the church. Well, get a hold of a value system from God and from the Word of God. And Jesus Christ Himself, He loved the church and He gave Himself for it. Amen. If He loved the church that much, then you can do what He did, and you can love the church with its weaknesses and its needs and its shortcomings, and commit yourself to the local body and to the family of God everywhere, believing that the church is a precious, precious thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christians, Jesus paid the price, and He's called every one of us as well to be more than Christian in name. There is a concept today, a value system today that is so twisted and so upside down as far as the Christian is concerned. That you become a Christian. And really there is this attitude that you become a Christian and then you claim that title and that connection with the Lord. But the rest of your life beyond that 1 hour on Sunday, there's no resemblance to Christ. There's no discipleship. There is no commitment. There is no lifestyle. There's nothing that even resembles Jesus Christ. People that call themselves Christians curse, involve themselves in all kinds of activities that are lewd and wicked and evil and involved in the things of this world. That is not pleasing to the Lord, and that is not Christian. That's not what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who belongs to the Lord. We are a peculiar people. We are owned by Him. We belong to Him. Amen. Yes, He paid a price for our salvation. And if you're going to be a disciple, then you're going to pay a price to follow Jesus Christ as well. Forsaking all, taking up your cross, following Him, being a believer, it will cost you your life. Amen. Everything. It belongs to the Lord. What's your value system? What do you really believe? What's really important to you? Well, salvation ought to be important. Your Christian lifestyle ought to be important. The church ought to be important. Amen. These are things that should affect our lives and our decisions. As I said earlier, we need to be reminded of the fact that our values direct our lifestyle and our decisions. And so what we are doing needs to be measured and weighed by eternal things. Amen. Every day that you live in this life, you're sowing for the eternal. You're sowing seeds for the eternal. For every day that you live, there's going to be billions upon billions of years in eternity that you're going to be reaping from what you sowed in that day. Every day. Every day. Treating it carelessly. Treating our time carelessly. We're all guilty of that. treating what God has given to us and blessed us with as if it's not really all that important. When you become a Christian, then you have to mature and become eternally conscious of the eternal. Little children can be fooled when they're very young. You can give a little bitty small child, if they have a dime, and you can walk up to them with a nickel and you can say, see, this is bigger and I'll give you my nickel for your dime. And if they're really, really young, now they have to be extremely young because they're very savvy at a very young age. But when they're very, very, very little, they'll trade the nickel for the dime because they say, it's bigger. It's bigger. It just makes sense. But you know when you mature and you grow up, you know better than that. And they're going to say, no way. No way. Well, the exchange that's being made today, the exchange that we need to understand is that there are things that are eternal and are valuable. But we're trading for things that are not at all valuable. We're trading the temporal, the temporary, the things of this life and this world. And we've esteemed them as more important than the things that are eternal. You've just got your life. The Bible says it's just like a puff of smoke from the very beginning to the end. That's exactly how God sees it. Your life is just here and gone. It's just so short. And how you live your life in that little short span, sowing the seeds and making preparation for eternity. Amen. Everything in your life. Don't trade the temporary. People get so caught up in jobs and money and new cars and new homes. And I want something else new. And that's one of the problems that happens around this time of the year. People start shopping like maniacs, buying things that they don't need, spending hundreds and thousands of dollars on things they've already got. They just want a better one. Our values have got so twisted that we'll spend $1,000 that quick on some little something that we think that we need. And then we get up and say, we're going to take an offering from the missions. We're scrambling, looking around and see if we've got a dollar or two. Or maybe a five. We've really done something if we drop a five in the missionary offering. And to suggest that you'd give a hundred or two or three to a missionary is like appalling. How dare you ask me that? But then we'll consume it all in our own desires. You see, it's because of our value system. We don't see what's really important. We don't see what really is going to matter in eternity. Not going to matter. You see, your house is temporary. Your car is temporary. Everything in this world is temporary. And the Bible says it's all going to melt. It's all going to be consumed. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. So why make all of your life investment in the things of this world and forsake the things that are eternal and are really, really valuable? We live in this temporary world, and every one of us are moving fast toward eternity. Every one of us. We're moving fast toward eternity. Well, it's a privilege as a pastor, but it's also always a sobering thing as you see the different members of your church passing, going to heaven. Every year, we're losing several going to heaven every year. Every year, it should be a reminder to us that every one of us are headed to eternity. And we need to come face to face with the reality that that's really all that matters. That's really all that matters. Are you ready? Are you living your life in light of eternity? Are you living your life? Are you all wrapped up in your own little desires and your own little comforts? Or are you pouring it all into the things of God? Into the things that really matter? What is really important to you? What is really important to you? It's eternity that really, really matters. Eternity. Our life, we're making an investment. And hopefully, you are making an investment in eternity. Not just in dollars and cents, but with your daily decisions, with your daily lifestyle. You understand that what I do today will have an effect upon eternity future. What I'm doing today will have an effect upon eternity future. And the most important thing you can do is get saved if you're not saved. Get saved. Be born again. Confess your sins and ask the Lord to take control of your life. Start living your life for the eternal. Amen. That's really what's going to make a difference. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for the privilege. Amen. I'm so glad, so grateful that the Lord, down through the years, you know, I always tell these crazy stories about my mom. My mom, she, by most people, would be termed a fanatic. She's coming for a couple days at Thanksgiving. My mom was fanatical about things. She was fanatic about church. We were always there. And honestly, it was only later after I left home that I really had a full understanding of the fact that some Christians didn't go to church all the time. I didn't even understand that that happened. That that was possible. Because we were always there. And she was fanatical. I've told you this before, but there was a certain family that were friends with my mom and dad before my mom got saved. And when we were young boys, they would come over and they would always come on Sunday night. And they would always come just before we go to church. And so they came, you know, they probably weren't even thinking about it, but maybe they were, I don't know. But my mom was a relatively new Christian, not had been saved all that long. But she'd gather us boys up, get us all ready, and the company would come, and she'd stay there as long as she could to make sure our church was only 2 blocks away, so we could leave in 5 minutes and be there on time. She'd stay with the company as long as she can, and then she'd just make the announcement. Well, I'm sorry that we have to leave. We're going to leave you. My dad, of course, was not saved and didn't go to church, and so my mom would leave the company on dad. and we'd just go to church. And before long, you know, that only happened a few times. After a while, people got the message, this is a priority. This is important. This is a part of the value system in this household. You go to the house of God. You're there no matter what. Amen. And you live in a home like that for 18 years, it has a real impact on you. It affects your life. It affects your future. I remember when I was working down here at Corbin at Comprehensive Care, when I went there and they told me what my schedule would be, they said, you're going to have to work certain numbers of Sundays. And so I said, well, is there any way that could be negotiated? They said, no, everybody works a Sunday. I said, what about the shifts? Could I work a shift that would be? So I went to work at midnight on Saturday night and worked till 8 o'clock. And then I went home and cleaned up and came and I got on the bus and rode the bus. It was Carl Hacker's old bus route. I was a little sleepy, but the kids woke me up. And then I came over here to this Sunday school class that used to be the young adult Sunday school class. And Sister Vadith was in there. And Chuck and Sue Ann Broughton was in there. And I don't know, Sister Luane was in there. I don't remember who all was in there. They were all young adults back then. And I taught the young adults class. And you know, you say, well, you were young though. You could tell. I was young, but you know, young people get tired too. But the Lord worked it out so that I could be at church. And then I'd run home after I got off the bus and lay down and sleep for 2 or 3 hours and come back to choir practice and be here for the night service and then go back to work that night. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying that happened because this value system was so put in me that I wanted to be there in the house of the Lord. I wanted to be there. And I've never gotten away from that. And God help it'll never change. I want to remain true to that commitment. When we are out on a trip, going on a vacation or somewhere, we always look for a church. And sometimes you get into some interesting situations in churches. But I always look for somewhere to go to the house of God because of this that's in me. That's just one. Value system. Get a hold of it. What's really important to you? What really matters? Well, what you're doing will affect your eternity. The way you live will affect your eternity. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us. And Lord, that you have provided for us this wonderful treasure in earthen vessels. We thank you for that. Lord, and we thank you that you are able to awaken us and stir us, Lord. Lord, if we've become complacent and we've become careless in the things that are eternal, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to realize that these are valuable treasures in our life. To not cast them away or treat them carelessly. Oh, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the people of God. We thank you for the Word of God. Oh, we thank you for these things that you've given to us, Lord, that are going to last beyond this life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand together. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I think if they do it in the corporate world, that it'd probably be good for every Christian to have a little time of values clarification. Look at your life. Look at the decisions that you're making. And on what basis are you making them? What is it that's directing you to do what you're doing? Look at your values and make sure that they are biblical. Make sure that they are holy, that they are pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, oh, what a wonderful opportunity you have. Hallelujah. Confess your sins. Repent of your sins. Turn your life over to Him. I invite you to come. If you're here this morning, you're not serving the Lord, but you want to know Jesus, you can. You can know Him today, and I invite you to come right now. Anyone here this morning, you're not right with the Lord, you don't know the Lord, and you want to come to this altar, would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's gather in. Everybody that will, let's come and pray together. Kneel around these altars. Kneel at your seat, wherever you are. This is a good time right now. Let's just seek the Lord for a few minutes before we're dismissed from this place. Would you come? Hallelujah. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.